This morning we are zeroing in on verses 3 through 6 as we look again at this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. We are going through the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. And in this particular section, I lay before you this statement: we are to see God's election and predestination as the fountain of His glory and the foundation of our blessing. You know, a lot of people today in the evangelical church say to those words, "Bah, humbug." They really do. And they find the terms election and predestination, as we understand them, and as I think Paul understood them, to be absolutely repugnant. A couple of weeks ago, I was given a copy of a modern evangelical shorter catechism. And I had seen this earlier, but I want to read to you two or three of the questions and answers. What are the decrees of God? Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says something like this: the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. But listen to what this particular catechism of modern evangelicalism says. What are the decrees of God? You mean like predestination and all that? Yes. Answer: I think that God wants us to be free. He knows everything, of course, but He still gave us free will. I couldn't worship a God who didn't do that. How does God execute His decrees? Do you have to call them decrees? How does God work out His will? Well, He looks down the corridors of time and sees what is happening, and that is what He always wanted to happen. And so it goes. I think the very telling thing is that the popular response to the sovereignty of God and the absolute sovereignty of God is simply this: well, I couldn't worship a God like that. And it's too bad, because that excludes a large percentage of, quote, evangelicals today. Let's read once again verses 3 through 6 in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what Paul says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. I submit to you this morning, friends, that the theme of the Apostle Paul is that we are to look at and we are to see in God's election and predestination the fountain of His glory and the foundation of our blessing. I really believe that that's the case. And so I give to you as the first point in the outline, looking at verse 4, that God elects people to holiness and obedience. Notice how I phrase this, because I think it does come out of the text. God elects people to holiness and obedience, not on the basis of their foreseen holiness and obedience. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. There we have it, you see. God's election. He chose us. And when was this elective purpose? When? Well, it's very difficult to talk in other than terms of time. And how do you speak of before time was, before time began? How do you speak about that? Well, Paul says it like this: just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, before anything existed, before we existed, in the mind of God, He elected some out of the mass of a humanity that was to be. You remember how the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 9. He says that before they did anything good or bad, that is not on the basis of something which God foresaw, before they had done anything good or bad, referring to Jacob and Esau, that God said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. That He embraced Jacob. God said that. He is the one who acts. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You know, we read from John 15 a little bit earlier, and I'm startled by those verses where Jesus speaks to His disciples. And listen to these words once again, folks. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Do you get it? Jesus says this. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And what Jesus is saying with regard to those disciples is that you were going about your business, you were fishermen, some of you were tax collectors, you were going about your business, and I came along, and I called you, and I chose you. It could have been others, it could have been 12 others, but I chose you. And I called you, and were it not for the fact that I chose you, you would not be here with me now. And I submit to you, dear friends, it's the same with us today. And Paul is saying to us today, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And I say to you solemnly, that were it not for the grace of God choosing you out of the mass of fallen humanity, you would not be one who trusts in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 again. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. You see, the purpose of God's election is to bring about a people in the world who are holy and blameless. There's the positive and the negative given there. That we are to live lives of holiness before God. It's too bad that even in Reformed churches today, holiness has fallen in disrepute. That lives of holiness before God are not pursued the way they should be. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that we are to pursue peace with all men and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And holiness is absolutely essential. Living in obedience to God. Living as Jesus Christ would live. Absolutely essential. Holiness and blameless. Holy and blameless, the apostle says. We are not to be ones who violate the commandments of God. We are to be blameless before God. You know, the commandments say, you shall not steal. You shall not lie. You know, don't do it. Be blameless before God. Have a clear conscience before God. Now, what was the purpose of God's election? It was that a people might be, because of God's election, holy and blameless. It's not on the basis of some foreseen goodness within us that God chooses us. That's not what the text says at all, you see. And it boggles my mind that immediately people say, wrongly I think, that of course I believe in God's election. God looks down the corridors of time and He sees what we will do and on the basis of what we do, He chooses us. No. That's not what the Bible says. say. And how we can fly in the face of what the Bible says so clearly amazes me. Well, it shouldn't amaze me because we want our vaunted freedom. And when we talk about freedom, actually what we mean is we want our autonomy. We don't want anybody to tell us anything. We want a freedom in which we are absolutely cut off from anything that anybody says, and we do what we want to do when we want to do it. And there's nobody in the world that has that kind of freedom. Nobody. And so we need to understand that that's the case. So I say that God elects people to holiness and obedience not on the basis of their foreseen holiness and obedience. And in point two, God predestines sons and daughters on the basis of His good pleasure, not on the basis of their foreseen faith. Verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Are you a child of God? Do you trust Jesus Christ? Are you born again? On what basis did all of that occur? The Bible says clearly right here that it is on the basis of the good pleasure of the will of God, the kind intention of His will. And the words in the New American Standard Version that are translated kind intention in the original language are one word which mean good pleasure, which means good pleasure. One word. Good pleasure. And I'm here to tell you folks on the testimony of the Bible that the pleasure of God, the will of God, is good. Is good. It really is. And it's on the basis of the kind intention of His will, His good pleasure, that we are children of God. We go back and look at John chapter 1, which we read earlier. It says in verses 12 and 13, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name." Those who receive Christ, who believe on His name, become children of God by way of adoption. And verse 13 says, "Of these people who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." How are they born? How are they born again? Is it as a result of a decision ultimately that they made? No, that's not what the Bible says. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Not too long ago, I listened to a tape of R.C. Sproul in which he describes a little discussion he had with a young man. And the discussion had to do with this young man becoming a Christian. And this young man maintained that it was as a result of his decision that he was a Christian. And my response to that is yes and no. That ultimately, the Bible says, He predestined us to adoption as sons. That it is the elective choice of the sovereign God. You do have to trust in Christ. The ultimate cause is God's election. The proximate cause is your trusting Christ. Catch the difference there. And there is a deep difference. You must trust Christ. Now, what happened in the case of this young man? Well, Dr. Sproul had a way of pursuing this young fellow to the end that this young man finally said, "Look, it is on the basis of my right and righteous decision that God saved me." And Dr. Sproul then said, "You mean to tell me that God's salvation came to you on the basis of a righteous act which you performed?" And this young man said, "Yes." And Dr. Sproul then said to him, "Friend, if your salvation is resting upon your own righteousness, you are on the way to perdition." He was right. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast." And if we boast in our own righteousness, dear friends, we are lost people. "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Glory be to the Father." You see, that's what it's all about. And so I say in point three, God's election and predestination are absolutely free from any obligation. They are gracious and merciful, verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved." The Beloved here is Jesus Christ. And when we are united to Jesus Christ, it is on the basis of His good works that we are saved. There's a sense in which we can say, listen to me very carefully here now, will you please? There is a sense in which we can say that we are saved by works. We are not saved by our own works. We are saved by the works of Jesus Christ. You see? And when we are united to Jesus Christ, His works are laid to our accounts. And His righteousness comes to us as a free gift. Paul has an interesting way of putting it in verse 6. "Which He freely bestowed on us, which He graciously gave to us." The word grace is used twice. We might even say, graciously graced us. This is what happened. It's all of grace, not of works. Because if there are any works involved, Paul says in Romans chapter 11, it is not of grace. "Which He freely bestowed on us." There is a graciousness in God in which He bestows upon us His salvation worked out in Jesus Christ. And on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ, we are saved. Not on the basis of our good works. You know, we want to reserve for ourselves some modicum of goodness. We want to reserve for ourselves some little corner in our hearts where we can say, "Yes, it was me." Paul is weighing in heavily against that. And he is saying, this is absolutely free and gracious. And if you're sitting here this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm here to say, as an ambassador for Christ, there was nothing good found in you that merited God's favor. There was nothing found in you that obliged God in any way to look favorably upon you. Quite to the contrary, it is all of grace, which He freely bestowed on us, with which He graciously graced us in Christ. We're going to talk about in the following verses the work of Jesus Christ and how the ultimate cause is the election of God, the ultimate cause of our salvation, and the material cause the cause that brings us that salvation intimately is the work of Christ. The work of Christ alone. I'm going to zero in on that. But for now, let's look at verse 6 again. Well, let's read verses 4, 5, and 6. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, one of the great purposes of God's election and predestination is to give rise to the praise of the glory of the grace of God. It's not to give glory to individuals, but it's to give rise to the praise of the glory of His grace. In the Old Testament, the word glory is quite interesting because the root meaning of the word glory is weight. And if something is glorious, it carries a lot of weight. The Old Testament speaks about the glory of the kingdom of David, and the kingdom of David came to carry a lot of weight in the world. The glory of God indicates that God should carry a lot of weight in our lives. You see, this is how it works. And we should have a great awe and reverence for God. And the point is that our vaunted free will should not carry the greatest weight in our lives, but the sovereignty and the grace of God should carry a lot of weight in our lives. And we should give praise and glory to the grace of God. You know, I've spoken about this before, but I'll say it again. When I was converted in Korea a couple of years ago, I remember very well going up a little hill after giving a class and telling a bunch of GIs that a good place to go would be to go talk to the chaplain. And I walked up that hill, and I got about halfway up the hill, and I turned around and I walked down to the chaplain's office. I guess I decided to take my own advice. And when I got into that chaplain's office, this chaplain said to me, "What are you doing here?" And I decided I'd better tell the truth. And so I told him I didn't know. And the next words out of his mouth were, "Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And that was the first time I really heard the gospel. And now when I look back on that, and I know my own heart, what am I impelled to do but to say, "Thank you, Lord"? Because it wasn't Denny Pruto. It was the grace of God. And that's the whole point, is it not? That when we understand our sinful condition, we understand the fact that we would not have followed Jesus were it not for the gracious act of God coming to us and saving us. And when we look at this text in Ephesians, we realize that it was the grace of God even before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. If we only begin to see that a little bit, We will fall on our faces before the Almighty and give Him praise and honor. You see, God's election and predestination not only give rise to the praise of the glory of His grace, but God's election and predestination are the foundation for our ultimate blessing. Look at how verses 3 and 4 are connected. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You know, this verse is often quoted. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Where does that blessing issue from? It issues from divine election. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, friends, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us before the foundation of the world. And I submit to you that if you don't hold tenaciously to divine election and the absolute sovereignty of God in these matters, you are missing out on an inestimable blessing. You really are. God's election and predestination are the foundation of our ultimate blessing. And when we enter glory, we are going to cast crowns before Him. And to whom will all glory and honor and praise be given? To creatures? No. But only to the blessed Creator and Savior and Spirit, the Triune God, to whom all blessing and honor and glory and power and strength is due. May it be the case in our lives today. Let's pray together. Father, grant us, I pray, just a little insight into these words of Your Spirit through the Apostle. May we be humbled by them. And may we see Your glory and our blessing. We pray. In Jesus' name.